This is the Football Hour.
That's right, you're listening to the Football Hour with me, Dom Betts. There is no Alex Mearns today, but I'm joined by Callum Denning, who has been on the Football Hour multiple times before. How are you today, Callum?
I'm amazed that I keep getting a recall, Dom, to be honest. That's what's taken me aback this morning.
You're our Kelechi Iheanacho to Mearns, who's the Aguero.
I'll take that.
You're a great striker, but Aguero's just, you know, up there as one of the best strikers in the league.
Impact sub, I like it.
Impact sub, that's it. So today, we're talking about the race for the title. Also the title, watching the last couple of weeks. The best bits came out yesterday. If you haven't listened to them, just listen to it, because it's amazing, obviously, because it's the Football Hour. But we're looking at this weekend's action, where there were some interesting results, I guess you could say. We start off with the best performance of the weekend for me, which was Chelsea against Everton on Saturday night. Were you expecting that kind of performance?
I wasn't. I actually expected Everton to win beforehand. I thought Chelsea's bubble was going to burst sooner rather than later, but it was a demolition. Like, there's no two ways about it. Everton were destroyed by Chelsea.
Do you think it was also down to the way Koeman set up his side to start off with the three at the back?
Can see what he was going for, first of all, but it had absolutely no effect against that Chelsea side, because Conte clearly knew what they were going to try and do to counter their attack, and he absolutely tore them to shreds with that three-man defence.
It's weird, because they've got five games now in the league. They've played this 3-4-3. 16 goals scored, none conceded. How is this Chelsea side, who were playing not the best at the beginning of the season, I know they won the first few games, but they had that, like, a loss against Arsenal. I mean, that pretty much turned their season around. How do you think they've adapted to the 3-4-3 so quickly?
Well, I think it's obviously Conte's got his style from his time with the Italian national side that he seems to want to implement, although in a different shape. The Chelsea side as well, it's the same with any new manager. Like, we've seen it with huge clubs like Chelsea we're talking about now and smaller clubs. When they come in, it does take a while for them to settle. So, again, the loss to Arsenal. Yeah, and Arsenal are a very good side, and they're going to be in amongst it in the race for the title as well. But since then, he seems to have just drilled it into them. I don't know whether that's changed on the training pitch, whether it's, like I said, they've gotten used to him. But they have adapted more than I think anyone could have expected. And the fact that they got five against an Everton side that aren't bad at all.
I mean,
really,
yeah, they're still seventh in the table.
They're still going to be in and around the European places as well. Like,
yeah, they're definitely
going to
be
a very good manager.
They're going to be contenders for the Europa League places this season, 100%. What do you think would happen with the Chelsea side, though, if they lose Acosta or Hazard? Do you think they could still perform at the level they still are, or do you think Hazard and Costa are so key and critical to their side?
I think that you can slot in a couple of players into that formation and still be able to get the same results, because for me, it's not a squad full of individual players. The way that Conte's got them set up means that he can rotate. He doesn't seem to do it very often. Obviously, you're not going to get five against sides like Everton, but you're not going to be beaten if you rotate that side.
Yeah, because also you've got the likes of Willian and Bashui, who can slot in for Diego Costa and Eden Hazard. But I think the player who impressed me the most on a Saturday afternoon was Pedro. I thought Pedro was amazing on Saturday.
I think he's probably Chelsea's most underrated player, in fairness.
Because he joined them last season, he did have a relatively poor first season, but so did the whole entire club. And I mean, last summer he was either going to be joining United, I think everyone thought he was going to go to United, and then he chose to go Chelsea. And, you know, he's won three Champions League, he's no mug. He won it, obviously, he just about counts for the 2009 one. I was listening to Football in Europe and they were discussing whether, he's definitely won two, but has he won the third one? But he came on against United in the 90th minute, so he counts as getting that third Champions League. But he's no mug, Pedro. He was obviously behind the likes of Thierry Henry, David Villa, Zlatan Ibrahimovic, Samuel Eto'o, Lionel Messi when he was coming through, and he was still getting goals and assists a lot.
He didn't look out of place either when he did play in that Barcelona side with some of those great names that they did have up front.
Because he's different to a lot of wingers in this division, whereas he won't get you as many as assists, but he's so clinical in front of goal.
Which is what you need, I think, as we mentioned. Chelsea, the way they play, they're all about getting goals, getting the ball up to that front three, and then really capitalising on it.
Well, yeah, because the three and the two, obviously, in behind Diego Costa aren't wingers, really. They are inside forwards, but they're more like free tens who can just free roam in and about behind Diego Costa and support him. Like, you've seen when one of them goes through in the middle, Diego Costa has gone out wide or so on to the right or to left, depending obviously if it's Hazard or Pedro running through. So, Chelsea, do you think they are proper contenders for this title now then?
I said at the start of the season they are going to win the league, and I think that demolition at the weekend really brings that point home. I mean, Liverpool are there, we're going to talk about them later, I'm sure, but I think they are still the favourites in my eyes.
If we move on to who they played, obviously Everton. They've had a brilliant start to the season compared to how they played last season under Martinez. Because me and Alex said it that their cup run sort of saved their season last year. Because without their cup run, it would have been a tragic season. Whereas the cup run sort of brought them some sort of hope. What have you made of them this season?
Well, I think Ronald Koeman was probably the smartest appointment they could have made in the summer. He's a very, very good manager, and he proved that at Southampton. I think this, in a weird way, is the kind of setback they need. Obviously, it's only their third defeat of the season, but to get hammered will kind of motivate their players to go out there and to prove they're not a side full of donkeys, essentially. Because they are a good footballing side. They've got some great players in there. And as we said, they're going to be in and amongst the Europa League places. So I think now they could go on a decent little unbeaten run. It seems to happen when teams get absolutely slaughtered.
Everton, if you said they'd finish in the top half, let alone in the top seven, they'd have taken that, definitely. There was a lot of dead wood in the side, but Koeman sort of... He's only got an 11, though, for me. He hasn't really got a squad. Like, you've got Lukaku. If Lukaku gets injured, where are the goals coming from? Ross Barkley, he's too inconsistent for me. He has matured a lot as a player. It's taken him a while, but he's starting to get in the right position a lot more, because for me, when he should be in his number 10 position, he's sometimes been out wide or still at number 8. So he is maturing a lot better. But if Barkley and Lukaku are consistent all season long, they are obviously the key players to their side. Moving on, the other team who got a massive win this weekend was Liverpool against Watford. I know it's Watford, but Watford are only sitting 8th.
I mean, this is a similar situation to Chelsea-Everton in that it shouldn't have been a 5-goal deficit. I mean, I was watching this one and it just seemed that every time I looked away, Liverpool were just getting forward and they were scoring. They didn't look like they could miss that target. And Watford, to their credit, didn't look like a bad side either. They got a well-deserved goal, but I don't quite understand how they managed to ship 6.
Everyone knows how good Liverpool's midfield and attack is, especially obviously their attacking midfield with 3 in behind the 1, because they have like sort of Philip Coutinho, Roberto Firmino, Adam Lallana, Sadio Mane, and in like holding you've got the likes of Emre Can, Jordan Henderson, Lucas Leiva. Do you think their defence is not there yet for them to be winning the league?
I don't know, there's a couple of players in there that I wouldn't say were really Premier League champions quality, but then you look at Leicester, they won the Premier League with a back four including Robert Huth. So I mean, the fact as well that, was it Wijnaldum who scored at the weekend?
Gigi Wijnaldum,
yeah. I mean, he clearly is able to get forward as well as shore up at the back. So
their back line, it's what I say about Liverpool, they'll score 5 or 6, but they'll also concede 2 or 3, and when they are playing the top sides, you can't be doing that.
No. And against sides like Chelsea, like Man City, they are going to kind of be held to ransom there. But when you're playing sides like, you look at the bottom three in the table now, Sunderland especially, they're going to be free scoring. And it's going to be that that proves to be the difference at the end of the season, I reckon.
It is. Their goal difference, I believe, will probably be the best in the league, because they've clearly got the most goals in the side, because no other team has got that many free-flowing goals. And do you think the credit has to go to players, or do you think it's pretty much all on Klopp?
It's Jurgen Klopp. I mean, the man is a magician. He's got some very, very good players to his credit. But again, previous managers haven't been able to get essentially the same crop of players to perform. So he's come in. Everyone knows what he did at Dortmund to make them European giants. And he seems to be having that same effect on Liverpool. I mean, it's taken a little bit of time, but now they genuinely look unstoppable. And I think, as we're going to keep mentioning, the Premier League race is probably as close as it's been for many, many years.
Yeah, so Liverpool, like Chelsea, they don't have any European football to play this season. I mean, Chelsea are even out of the EFL Cup now. Liverpool obviously got Leeds in the quarterfinals, I think this month, maybe next month. So do you think being not in Europe gives them a massive advantage over the other sides? And do you think it makes them actually title favourites?
For Chelsea or Liverpool?
For both.
For both, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I said that from the start of the season, that Chelsea didn't have the setback. I didn't realise Liverpool were going to be as lethal as they have turned out to be. But now that we are 11 games into the season, I think it's definitely having the same effect. And you can see the difference compared to teams like Man City, who should be, I mean, I know they're obviously not far off, but they should probably be top with their quality. They absolutely destroyed Barcelona in the Champions League. So I think the fact that Liverpool and Chelsea aren't having to play on Tuesday nights, aren't having to play on Wednesday nights or Thursday nights in the case of Europa League, it's definitely given them a huge impact.
Next up was the North London derby between Arsenal and Spurs. If you're going to say a result that you're going to predict for this game to finish in, it was going to be a draw.
All the good derbies do. All the good derbies finish 1-0.
Because I said 3-1 to Arsenal going into the game, because Spurs had been quite poor recently. They were on the back of the European loss. Arsenal had been scoring goals for fun. I said they hadn't been playing well at all, which I stand by. They were riding their luck over the last few weeks, and it's only a matter of time before they lose. It simply is. And it finished 1-1. Obviously, Arsenal went ahead in the first half through the own goal from Kevin Vimmer.
Yep.
The massive talking point here, obviously, in the law, it isn't offside, but do you think the law should be changed and this goal should have been given as offside?
I think this is a tough one because it's the heat at the moment. Like, obviously, you can campaign for the rule to be changed when it's a goal against you in a local derby, but then if it happened to you in any other match, you'd be like, oh, there's no problem with it. Personally, I'm undecided. I'm the same with a lot of things when it comes to offside, though, because the law is so kind of open to interpretation that it's really up to the referee and the linesman, obviously.
Because I think the rule pretty much says, or the last rule basically says, if another player is interfering with his ability to play the ball, that isn't happening. Sanchez and Koscielny, I believe, is the other player who's offside, on impacting his ability to head the ball. But obviously, if he knows they're offside, he wouldn't go to head the ball.
Well, there was also the fact that, obviously, when the laws changed in the summer and they brought in the new kickoff law that everyone was kind of fawning over, there was a change to the wording of the offside law. But it kind of suggested, now, I don't know if referees aren't up to speed with this or whatever, you'd hope they were, but it suggests that even if they weren't directly interfering with play, if they were in an offside position, then the goal would be ruled out. But personally, I don't see an issue with it.
In the law, it is a goal. Koscielny and Sanchez don't interfere with his ability to play the ball. But it's just obviously, as a fan, it is frustrating when you know there's an offside player, especially in a local derby, obviously, and that's stopping you from playing the ball. But Arsenal, they weren't really that impressive in this game at all. The only time I thought they were actually looking like they could have scored two or three goals in the last 15 minutes of the first half.
They definitely didn't look like potential champions at all. They looked like they were the lesser side in the derby.
Because obviously they had the Walcott chance to hit the post and Ertzel missed a rebound, but you can't really blame him for that because it's basically, the ball's basically behind him by the time he can hit it. And he had the Alex Iwobi chance, which he should have buried. And he pretty much just passed it back to Hugo Lloris. But in the second half, what did Pochettino say at halftime? Because Spurs looked a completely different side. What do you think it was down to?
I mean, obviously, Pochettino, I think when he first came at Southampton, people were concerned about his man management. He's proved at Spurs now that he seems to have that ability to go into the change room and completely, I don't know what it is, but whatever he says to his sides clearly make an impact. But it makes you wonder, what's he saying before the match?
I said this last week, Dembele is the best box-to-box midfielder in the league, and I'm standing by it. He doesn't run with the ball, he glides with it. You don't tackle him. And I think whenever he started a game, Spurs haven't lost since beginning of last season. I said the best midfield pivot in the league would be Michael Carrick and Moussa Dembele. Michael Carrick just sweeping up in front of the back four and Moussa Dembele running. But
the Tottenham Hotspur dream team of the past 10 years.
Exactly. Moussa Dembele is just a brilliant player and I don't think he gets the credit he deserves. What did you make of his second half performance?
You know, it's a bit weird. I'm always a bit bitter about Moussa Dembele, purely because you look back at his time at Fulham, he could have come to Birmingham City. So, again, I've always got that little bit of a slightly spiteful viewpoint, but he is, I'd agree with you, probably one of, I wouldn't say the best box-to-box midfielder in the Premier League, but he's certainly, like, one of the top five.
Yeah, there's no one else in the league who can do what he does. No one else can, no one is winning the ball off him. Like, he wins the penalty. Koscielny doesn't foul him, he wins the penalty for me, because he's obviously into the box and he moves his body in the way of Koscielny, which this is why Arsenal fans didn't think it was a penalty, but he's just shielding the ball. That's all he's doing, really. He's just shielding the ball and Koscielny sort of, I don't know why Koscielny fouled him, to be perfectly honest, because he doesn't need to. Moussa Dembele can't shoot. That's the only downfall to his game. He can't shoot to save his life. He always scores on his debut and then never scores again, basically. But I thought Koscielny and Mustafi were so poor on Sunday. Like, they'd been two of the best centre-backs in the league all season. Possibly the best two. And they were just nowhere to be seen, that sort of player, on Sunday. Like, Mustafi was shocking.
Well, I think, obviously, we spoke about Mustafi, but Koscielny with the penalty, I think the heat of the local derby has gotten to that centre-back pairing.
I've always said this about Arsenal. That always happens with them. They always bottle the big occasions.
Well, you look at their attempts to actually win a Premier League trophy since the turn of the century. As soon as the heat starts getting to them, like derbies, seasons getting past Christmas, apparently, last couple of weeks of the season as well, that seems to happen. They just cannot perform for whatever reason. I don't know if that's down to Wenger and the flip side of the coin with Pochettino's weird half-time management, but again, he can't do anything before a match. What is Wenger doing when it gets to the big occasions?
Exactly. Like, in the last, I think it's been, what, this season it'd be 13 years since they won the league. And yep. I can't think of a time when they've actually nearly done it. I mean, the closest they came was the season Eduardo got injured at Birmingham City. After that, they just crumbled. They were walking the league in, like, February, I think it must have been. February around there. And they just bottled it completely last season, even. They should have won the league last season. They saw City dropped off, United dropped off, Chelsea weren't there, Liverpool weren't there. It was between them, Tottenham and Leicester. Tottenham and Leicester, being your nearest title challengers. You're not winning the league. Like, that's awful.
2011 as well, I believe they were on for the League Cup, the FA Cup, the Champions League and the Premier League. Not one of them.
Exactly. It's always November. Their lowest average point total in a month is November. It's under 2 points. And I mean, so far it's proven. They got 1 point in their first game. Yeah. Nearly bottled the Ludogorets game. I'll move on to the Ludogorets game, right? Why were they playing that many of their first team 11 in Bulgaria when you know you have this massive game on Sunday?
And also when you played what was kind of half second string, half first team at the Emirates and still won 6-0. Yeah, to go 2-0 down is a bit...
Like, why are you playing the likes of Ertzul and Sanchez, your two best attacking players?
Well, it nearly cost them as well. That's the worst bit. They could have come away from Bulgaria with no points and a crock side for the North London derby.
If we move on to Spurs, what do you think they can do this season? Do you think their aim this season is just to finish in the top four?
Yeah, for me, Champions League places. But again, that's what I say about Spurs every year. Last year, their best chance to win the league, they bottled it to Leicester. I think that's going to haunt them a bit this season. They're not title contenders. They're a good side, but they're not.
What Spurs seem to need at the moment is a bit of consistency about them, because when they got into Champions League last time, I know they did technically make the top four, but obviously Chelsea won Europa League a couple of years later, and obviously they actually ended up in Europa League, and Chelsea ended up in the Champions League. But they need some consistency of just finishing in the top four, I believe. And then from there, they can progress to aiming for third, second, the title, etc. Arsenal, Mern thinks they're going to win the league. Do you?
Not at all. For me, it's Chelsea. I said this at the start of the show. Like, Arsenal, they're not going to do it while Wenger's there. It's not that he's a bad manager. It's just that that monkey's on their back and it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I said that. I think that in the top four best sides in the league, it just depends what they do in the Champions League. Because say they get to the quarters, because it looks like they're going to win the group if they beat PSG in the next game after the international break, after the United game. And if they win the group, technically, they could get a harder fixture. Because the teams who are second at the moment, there are some hard teams there. You got the likes of Juventus. You got the likes of Real Madrid, I believe.
Yeah.
Knowing Arsenal's luck, they will get one of them.
Go for second and get Leicester instead when they win their group.
Exactly. But I mean, if they get to the quarterfinals and let's say they're third in the league, Arsenal fans, I reckon, actually being an Arsenal fan, what would you rather do? Because if Wenger Wenger wins the Champions League and came third in the Premier League, he'd probably get a new contract.
I'd say so.
If he won the league, I not necessarily think he would. Because I thought, if he's won the league, it'll be a nice send-off. Whereas if he wins the Champions League, I reckon he might get... I don't think they will. But if they said he could get a contract extension, that's not what Arsenal need at the moment.
No. And I think if you're on the Arsenal board as well and they do finish third and win the Champions League, it looks more like a base to build on for next season as opposed to winning the Premier League, which is... That's it. I mean, you're done, essentially.
So we've got two more games left for this title watch episode. We've got City, who drew at Borough. Everyone was saying, Pep Guardiola, blah, 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 blah. He can't manage in the Premier League, blah, 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 blah. This had nothing to do with Pep Guardiola for me, this game, right? Pep's side or setup for this side with his tactics was fine. It should have scored or it should have worked. And City just couldn't put the ball in the back of the net. That's down to the players, not the manager. And they got punished for it by Borough going right up the other end in the last minute and scoring 93rd minute, 94th minute, whatever it is. What did you make of Man City this weekend?
Well, they didn't lose 8-0, so that's a start against Middlesbrough compared to the Sven-Goran Eriksson days. But yeah, I mean, they're coming in off the back of a ridiculously good win in the Champions League against Barcelona, where they looked the better side. They played Barcelona at their own game. To go back to the Etihad and host Middlesbrough, who really are relegation contenders, it should be more of the same. Like, we should be talking Chelsea, Everton, Liverpool, Watford scorelines here, but something just didn't click this weekend.
If City won the game, Middlesbrough would be sitting just above the relegation zone in 17th.
And Man City will be second, if not top.
I don't know what to make of Man City this season. They're like, I said they're the favourites for the league, and I still think they're my favourites for the Premier League this season, but I don't know, they keep bottling these home games, and it's really strange. They seem to be, their fortress seems to be away from home. Same with Arsenal, really. Then we had the United game at Swansea. You can't really call them title contenders just after this one win against a team who's second bottom. They did look a bit better, but this is mainly due to Swansea being awful. In that first half performance, I don't think I've seen a worse performance this season.
No, and I don't think Swansea have got much time left in the Premier League, to be honest. Man United, they've got that Mourinho factor about them in a negative way, though, after recent incidents involving him. I don't think that's going to serve them well in the long run. They kind of had a mini bounce back from that by getting this win against Swansea. And again, the Liberty Stadium, even if Swansea are appalling, is a tough place to go. Not many big sides go there and come away with the 3 points. So it's one win. It doesn't make them title contenders.
I mean, Rooney scored midweek against Fenerbahce and he got two assists on Sunday. Do you think this is showing he still has a big role to play in this United team?
I've always thought he has a big role to play, and I think he's kind of become an unfair scapegoat, which Man United seem to do on quite a regular basis. And I think it could end up forcing him out, and he's still got a lot to offer the Premier League. And if the rumoured move to Everton comes about, he will completely revitalise them. They will go from being Europa League contenders to, I'd say, nailed on Europa League, if not fighting for a Champions League place.
We look for the race for the title. You think Chelsea are going to win? You're
yep.
still going to stick by that?
Comfortably, yeah.
What order do you think the top four is going to be then?
Liverpool are going to be second, because again, we've gone into the fact that the no European football thing is going to help them. Chelsea aren't in the cup though. Again, I think Liverpool are going to win the FL Cup, personally. Seems to be a trophy they always do well in. So Liverpool will come second. I think Arsenal third, purely because I think Man City are too inconsistent, as we've spoken about. But they will finish fourth. And then, do you want my Europa League predictions as well, or just top
yes.
four?
Top four. I mean, we know the other three teams will probably be Tottenham, yeah. United and Everton in whatever order. I don't know. I'm still going to go for City to win the league. I feel like maybe it's because I just love Guardiola. I don't know. I still think City will win the league, and I don't know what it is. I think maybe Guardiola may come good in the business end of the season, and obviously they're still going to be about there, so maybe his experience is going to help them. But then you've obviously got the likes of Wenger, Conte and Klopp going for that title as well. But I think City will win the league. Chelsea finishing second, Liverpool third, with Arsenal in fourth. Although I kind of want to stick by my pre-season prediction of saying Arsenal won't finish in the top four, but I can't see Spurs finishing above them.
I don't know. I mean, Sunday, again, left it quite open to interpretation. If Arsenal do their usual bottle job, then I think Spurs.
After this international break, you've got the huge game at Old Trafford. First game in the weekend on Saturday lunchtime, United versus Arsenal. What a game that should be.
It's going to be huge.
As long as we don't get the same one as we got for Mourinho versus Klopp, when Mourinho just went for the draw. But this is at home at Old Trafford, so hopefully he should put in a different performance. They scored 3 goals in their last game, so hopefully there is goals in this game. So yeah, that's it, the race for the title. This has been The Football Hour. I've been Dom Betts, joined by Callum Denning. Enjoy your time on, Callum.
Always.
Remember to hit that subscribe button on iTunes if you haven't yet. Leave us a review, tell us, go up those charts again. This has been The Football Hour. I've been Dom Betts. We'll see you guys next time.
You're listening to The Football Hour.